From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, May 1st, 2026. As Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Graham Plattner pivots to a prospective matchup with Republican Senator Susan Collins, GOP-aligned groups are readying attacks to blunt his momentum. Steve Missler has more.
In a call with reporters Thursday night, Plattner said he's prepared for a, quote, scorched earth campaign against him.
Mainers are turning the page on the empty politics of personal attacks. People are sick and tired of this kind of politics, and they're going to be running that kind of campaign against me. Now, they've already begun.
He was referring to $2 million worth of attack ads recently launched by a super PAC created to help Collins and funded by an array of corporate and private equity leaders. Other Republican groups are also gearing up for a sustained effort to exploit Plattner's past social media posts and his working class bona fides. Plattner should get some help from Democratic groups now that Governor Janet Mills has dropped out of the race. According to Ad Impact, nearly $68 million has been booked in political ads for the general election, 70% of which comes from Republican-aligned groups. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Plattner joined labor unions at the Elks Lodge in Portland today to receive an endorsement from the Maine AFL-CIO, a federation of about 200 unions in the state. Plattner accepted the endorsement on May Day, also known as International Workers Day, which commemorates the achievements of labor unions and working people.
I won't just be there to go into offices and have conversations. I will be there on picket lines. I will be there in the streets, and you will always be welcome in our U.S. Senate office.
Maine AFL-CIO leaders also thanked Governor Janet Mills, who suspended her Senate campaign yesterday. Union leaders said they appreciated her service to the state despite some policy differences over the years. Republican Senator Susan Collins, meanwhile, says her campaign strategy will not change following Mills' departure from the Democratic primary.
I was and would be prepared to run against whomever was chosen as the winner of the primary. Now I know earlier than I would have who my opponent is going to be, unless David Costello makes a showing that is unexpected.
David Costello is the other Democrat in the race facing Graham Plattner. Mills' decision to end her Senate campaign will be a major topic at this weekend's Democratic State Convention in Portland. But House Speaker Ryan Fecteau says that could shift more attention to the five-person race for governor, which the Biddeford Democrat says has been flying under the radar for months.
And so I think we'll hear a pretty robust discussion from those candidates about what their vision is for the state and how they believe they're the best candidate to be on the general election ballot representing our party.
The five Democrats running for governor are Shenna Bellows, Troy Jackson, Angus King III, Hannah Pingree, and Nirav Shah. More than 100 lawyers, retired judges, and others in the legal profession rallied in Portland today in support of the rule of law, which they say is increasingly under attack from the Trump administration. Bill Harwood, president of the group Maine Lawyers for the Rule of Law, says he's particularly concerned about what he describes as a series of partisan Supreme Court decisions on abortion, guns, and voting rights.
We are moving into an era in which the party that appoints the judge, that judge is beholden to their agenda, and that's really not what our founding fathers wanted.
Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry also spoke at the annual Law Day rally, saying his office has filed or joined over 50 lawsuits challenging the Trump administration's actions. Nurses at Maine Medical Center are demanding that Maine Health cancel its contract with Palantir Technologies, the tech company powering ICE surveillance. At a press conference Friday in Portland, nurse Andrew Gessler said he's frustrated that Maine Health has not provided more information about the contract and concerned about patients' personal data.
I don't want my life to be run by these large corporations that are here to scare people and to threaten people.
Gessler encouraged others who share his concerns to sign a petition put out by the Maine State Nurses Association. Nearly 40 years ago, unionized workers at the International Paper Mill in Jay went on strike. Now considered a major event in the history of the nation's labor movement, the Jay strike was commemorated in a painted mural in 2008, and a new digital replica of that work is being installed today at the Union Local 14 Solidarity Center in Jay. As Michael Livingston reports, the mural depicts a chapter that lives on in the memories of those who once walked the picket lines.
Rain streaks down upon the massive triangular mural above the doors of the Solidarity Center Union Hall. Randy Berry, one of more than 1,200 union members that went on strike at the Androscoggin Mill in 1987, stares up at the images.
You see the outline of the United States all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, and it just shows that this was really part of the labor movement. This is what made it, this outreach effort is part of what's going on in this middle panel too.
In the center of the mural is a scene showing the inside of the hall, where union members are writing letters and taking phone calls, seeking donations or talking to the press. Above the center panel, strikers join hands singing Solidarity Forever. Over their shoulders are scenes of volunteers working at food banks, colorful Western Maine skies, and the towering Androscoggin Mill, then owned by International Paper.
It just shows people supporting each other and doing something important.
Cynthia Finney is the president of Maine AFL-CIO. She says the Union Hall and its mural are as iconic to Jay as the massive paper mill just across the river.
And I think it also shows care for this building where all those things happened. It shows that this isn't just a bunch of bricks. It shows that there was significance happening here and that there still is.
It started when mill workers and members of the United Paper Workers International Union walked off the job after the company demanded wage reductions, job eliminations, and reduced holiday time, despite earning record profits. The strike drew the attention of presidential candidate Jesse Jackson, who spoke to rallying strikers in Jay in 1987.
You need more than a job. You need job security. You need insurance.
The movement in Maine inspired strikes at other international paper mills in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Alabama. But in the end, IP was able to prevail by hiring out-of-state replacement workers. Marcel Schenk remembers being stationed at one of the dozen entry points along the picket line, from which he would shame the replacement workers, or as union members call them, scabs.
We used to go outside and holler at them once in a while and keep them awake up, because they used to have their trailers for the scabs when they first brought them in, right side alongside the fence, and people used to ride around, toot the horn, all that stuff.
The strike lasted 16 months, but even with the support from the national AFL-CIO, the workers had little bargaining power after many of them had been permanently replaced. Gaston Grandin was one of the few hired back at the mill after the strike, but said he was never able to find the same security in his job or camaraderie with his coworkers.
I tried to be honest with people. I told them how I felt about them, and I think they respected that. And I said, I worked here with a union, and I worked here without a union. And I survived, you know, both ways, but I would rather have a union.
Cynthia Finney says while the Jay strike was ultimately a failure, it's still worth celebrating the massive effort that unified workers and helped inspire others within the labor movement.
If you take that in isolation, it might look like they lost. Other companies back down from stomping on their workers because that happened. Now that's solidarity beyond Local 14. The company's gone, but the union lives on.
International Paper sold the mill in 2006. It was closed in 2023. But a group of strikers has met for coffee at the Union Hall nearly every morning since the strike. And there are some who say they remain spiritually on strike as a way to honor organized labor efforts across the country. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.